I've ruled out uni because I want to live at home.
I've ruled out uni because I want to earn money.
I've ruled out uni because of my grades.
Study with the Open University and there's no need to rule out anything. With our respected degrees, you can learn from home and work alongside study. We're open to all. Plus, you'll have the support of expert tutors. So rethink your future with the degree you didn't think was possible. The Open University. The future is open.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, July 29th. I'm Belle Lin for The Wall Street Journal. If you're looking to buy a new iPhone, you might want to pump the brakes. Learn how to optimize your Apple buying schedule this summer as WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen tells us which Apple products to buy right now and which are worth the wait. Then, the outlook isn't so bright for college graduates looking for starter jobs. Some companies are openly admitting that AI can do the work of fresh-faced 22-year-olds and replacing them with tools like ChatGPT. But first, Apple never says much publicly about its coming products, but WSJ reporters have dug up that a slimmer iPhone model is on the horizon. Plus, updates are due for AirTags and other accessories. WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen joins Patrick Coffey to demystify what this update schedule means for which Apple products are worth shelling out for this summer.
So, my biggest takeaway is that we should not buy new iPhones this summer. Why should consumers, even dedicated fans, wait until the fall?
Gadgets are seasonal, and at least for the last decade or so, have had a very regular release pattern. iPhones almost always come out in September. And when that happens, the previous models drop in price. Like most modern gadgets, iPhones have expiration dates. And if you wait just a couple of months for September for the new model to come out, you can get an additional year of support for that device.
What should regular iPad users who may want to upgrade know about the current models, and should they consider waiting for the Pro update?
The iPad, for me, gets the green light. Most people should get the iPad Air. That's the sweet spot iPad in terms of what it offers and its price. Both the basic iPad and iPad Air were recently refreshed in 2025. So we're probably not expecting another model this year. So if you want an iPad, go for it. But if you want an iPad Pro, that's more of a yellow light for me. The iPad Pro hasn't been refreshed for about a year, and so we may get an update. But if we do, it's probably going to be a pretty lame incremental one. So I'll let you decide for yourself.
AirTags haven't been updated in 4 years, which is a lifetime in the tech world. We've seen reports of a second-gen AirTag, but is it worth waiting and why?
If you're going on a trip and you're desperate for a thing locator and you need an AirTag to put in your luggage, I wouldn't necessarily stop you from doing that. But if you can hold off, AirTags with longer range capabilities and other new features are coming in the fall.
The most common consumer complaint for all Apple products is that the updates are minimal and have no real effect on user experience or functionality. Will there be any exceptions to that rule this year?
I hate to disappoint you, Patrick, but probably not. Analysts and the Wall Street Journal reporting do point to a brand new model, and that new model is probably going to be something like an iPhone 17 Air. It'll be a really skinny phone. That could convince some people to upgrade, but it's not going to feel like a monumental revolutionary change. There are reports of a folding future iPhone that looks like a small tablet and you can fold the screens over. That probably will not come until next year.
So have we seen tariffs affect prices for Apple products yet, or is this still entirely speculative? I know the Journal has reported that the company is considering raising prices. Do we know what to expect if that does come to pass?
Apple has not raised prices yet. However, Apple has not changed the price of its core iPhone models in many, many years. And they may take this opportunity to raise the cost of iPhones. However, I don't believe that Apple will point to tariffs as the reason to raise prices. They'll say the new features justify an increase.
That was WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. Coming up, AI is here and it's not going away. That means fewer positions geared at entry-level workers and more competition between recent grads and students for a smaller number of positions. We break down the bigger picture after the break. Unemployment among recent college grads is now rising faster than for young adults with high school or associate degrees, according to a Burning Glass Institute analysis of labor data. That's just one indication of how the job market for young professionals is starting to become completely upended by AI. WSJ reporter Lindsay Ellis joins us to discuss what these trends mean for new job seekers and what some professionals suggest entry-level workers do to stay ahead of the new AI curve. Lindsay, let's talk about the big trend behind your story, which is that some companies are declining to hire entry-level workers. Why is this happening?
There's been a lot of economic uncertainty, from geopolitical conflict to the trade war to the election. And as AI technology has advanced, a lot of companies are saying, before we make a hire, let's see if we can get some of this work done with these generative AI tools. And they've found that the tasks that these tools are most capable of doing are the tasks that companies have long leaned on entry-level workers to complete.
And one of the things you write in your story is that this trend kind of heralds a fundamental realignment in how the workforce is structured. What does that mean?
There's long been an agreement of sorts between companies and new graduates. These employees are young and ambitious, and they're willing to work hard and earn less than more seasoned corporate veterans would command. And so in exchange, they get training, they get experience, and that offers them a foothold in the job market. But what we've found here is companies that have slowed hiring of this cohort are still being quite productive and generating a lot of economic activity. And so they haven't seen an immediate downside to refraining from hiring a lot of these new graduates.
Let's talk about specifically some of the sectors in which graduate hiring has slowed the most.
Some of the sectors that we've been pointed to are information, tech jobs, finance, insurance, technical services. For example, Grindr CEO said that they would rather hire more seasoned engineers instead of junior coders straight out of school. One recruiting firm told me that typically they would have high volume demand from marketing agencies to hire entry-level staff. That work has totally vanished. One company I talked to, the CEO basically said, typically we bring on a summer intern. For years and years, we've done that, especially for social media. This year, instead of coaching a summer intern, I'm just going to talk into ChatGPT and it's going to clean up the copy and those posts will be ready for airtime.
As we talk about AI technology improving, can it really do what recent college grads are doing? And what about its tendency to hallucinate or make mistakes?
That's a great question, and it's something that a lot of companies are grappling with. So one company, for example, Carlyle, in the past, entry-level hires, if they were evaluating a deal, it's an investment firm, they would turn to Google and look for articles there, kind of request documents from companies, look at that information manually, copy and paste information from one document to the next. Now, a lot of that work is being done by AI, but they are still hiring junior analysts to make sure that information is accurate, that the analysis is accurate. One hiring lead told me recently that the skill that is most important for junior hires is a healthy dose of skepticism, because you have to constantly challenge the information that AI is spitting out. So needing to question it and poke holes in an argument is a new skill that is emerging for entry-level talent and potentially talent writ large.
What should entry-level workers do in this age of AI? What did your sources recommend?
Something that some of my sources are telling me who are in this phase of life, they say that client-facing roles are where they are hoping to lean into at this stage. One woman I talked to was working in payroll, and now she's looking for a more client-facing job, thinking that if I'm in a business back-end role, I have a higher liability of getting laid off or my job being automated. And the relationships are something that people can't really replicate with AI at this stage. So a lot of young professionals who I'm talking to are trying to find jobs that have a lesser chance of being taken over by artificial intelligence, and I'm curious myself to see where that goes from here.
That was WSJ reporter Lindsay Ellis. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Zoe Culkin with supervising producer Melanie Roy. Logging off, I'm Belle Lynn for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.